don't waste my time.
All right, here we go. Second hour of the program coming up. So, this is how silly this all is. Back to this article. Anti-Semitism should have no place in our society. Until it becomes criminal, the bigotry will persist. It will persist. It will fester. It is only a matter of time until it erupts again in violence and bloodshed. Until it becomes criminal, the bigotry will persist. It will fester. So none of us are free to be bigots anymore. See, none of us have the freedom of association, freedom of thought. That's the, you know, I growing up in the 70s, everybody just relished the fact that it's your right to be a hater if you want to be a hater. It's your right to express yourself, blah, 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 blah. We've come so far in just a few decades to where now we are at not quite Bolshevik levels because, you know, the physical gulags are not yet fully operational. There's already political prisoners in some of our jails and prisons, and especially at the federal level. Putting fake cases on people that are whistleblowers and dumping child porn on people's computers, even though they never went and found it. I'm sure that, you know, all kinds of strange things happen to people that once they reach a level where they become quote unquote dangerous, like Mark Zuckerberg talks about these people. You know, RBN and other places that, you know, our audience isn't that big and so forth. I guess we haven't reached the level to be dangerous yet. And so, see, you have to have a certain size and scope and footprint to become dangerous. But, I mean, people should know that. I mean, it's just it's silliness. Now, this is the same Danny Danone that said, send African migrants that flood into Israel to Australia. Okay, so these are the people that have no problem dumping African migrants on white people in Australia, but you got to criminalize anti-Semitism. Okay. From the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh to the Kabod Synagogue in Poway, anti-Semitism is no longer a fringe bigotry in the U.S. Then as now, all the right people are saying all the right things. They express their sympathies and call for an end to this violence and bigotry. Well, both of those things, both of these operations at the synagogue in Pittsburgh and Kabod kind of have a nasty and ripe smell to them. Unfortunately, a lot of Jewish people have hoaxed themselves into oblivion to where now anything that happens, and maybe that ends up there in Brooklyn, there is some sort of violence that happens to folks up there or something like that, or maybe there is some real violence that happens to Jews in places. But you guys have run so many hoaxes trying to false flag non-Jews that it's just like, hell, a lot of people are, you know, they're not believing anything that you guys say anymore. And so you cried wolf one too many times, and now you want to totally criminalize even speech. And so now you've become basically, you know, Marxist-Leninist types here in our countries. And so, you know, just insanity. Let's see here. Let's talk. Oh, the phones are open. Anybody want to call in? 1-800-313-9443. This is kind of interesting, and I saw this in my email this morning. Ken, get clip 12 ready. And I'm going to tread lightly here because, I like to, I keep my hands in a lot of things when I'm looking at the various circles of what I'm digging into and seeing. Tom Horn and the crew over at Skywatch TV is one of them, and this got dropped today, this video, and it's a Messianic rabbi and a Baptist pastor have written this book, and it's about you know, and WorldNet Daily covered this years ago. This Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, 108 years old, a rabbi of rabbis. And basically, from what the guys that wrote this book are maintaining, he had a revelation that basically Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ and is the Messiah and so forth and so on. And he had been secretly teaching his yeshiva elements within his yeshiva that this was the truth. He left a note behind to be opened a year after his death, and then he left a coded statement where basically the first letter of each word spells out Yehoshua and so forth and so on. So we're going to play a little bit of this. Clip 12, go ahead and run that.
The most venerated rabbi in Jewish history had a revelation which was disclosed a year after his death, and that revelation was the name of Messiah. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. If you saw our program last week, you saw the bombshell revealed by our guests. It's something that has just broken in Israel, where the authenticity of that note that was only revealed after Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri's death was inadvertently confirmed by supporters who really don't have a reason to endorse Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We welcome back to the program the founder of Messiah of Israel Ministries, raised as an Orthodox Jew and now a Messianic rabbi, leading our Jewish brothers and sisters to Christ, Rabbi Zev Perot.
Shalom. Welcome. Honor.
Shalom. Pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church and a best-selling author, the one who broke this story some years back, and since then has gone on to write books such as Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, and now most recently, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, along with Zev. We welcome Pastor Carl Gallops back to the program.
Thank you, Derek. It's an honor to be here.
This was big news, but we'll recover this briefly here for people who may have missed last week's program. The story of Rabbi Kaduri and the note that was only to be opened and disclosed a year after his death, the authenticity. Well, what did the note say when you translate from the Hebrew, Zev? What exactly did the note say?
Well, the note says that Yarim Ha'am V'yochiach SheDvarav V'Torato Omdim. Basically, if I translate it in simple English, he will lift up his people and prove that his word and his Torah are true. Now, Torah in Hebrew is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But in Hebrew, when you say Torah, what you're saying is, for the Jewish mind, you're saying, this is what Moses gave you. And what Moses gave you is the revelation of the name of the Messiah. Well, we have that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15. But in English, it's a little bit more complex because the words in English, and I'll have Pastor Carl explain the English part, but in Hebrew, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, he's telling you, I'll give you the name of the Messiah. Now, he didn't write that the name is Jesus, Yeshua. It was in a decoded format. So they looked at it, and they said, okay, we don't see the name of the Messiah here. That's after they stuck it on the website. And I'm sure that during the time
that his ministry put it up on the website.
Absolutely. Yeah. It put it on the website for several months. And when it was time to decode it, they looked at it and they said, we don't see the name of the Messiah here. But his students, there was a secret group of students that he was teaching in his yeshiva, which is a ministry school for rabbis, that he was teaching them that Yeshua is the Messiah. And he was preparing them for this big bombshell.
Wow.
And I'm sure revealed. They...
So we didn't even discuss that part last week. So yeah. Rabbi Kaduri, again, who passed at the age of 108, still attracted hundreds of thousands to his funeral when he died, was actually teaching in his yeshiva to
secretly.
Secretly.
Wow. Small group. All that's revealed in the book, too. Yeah.
And it ties back to this note because I'm sure that they looked at the note and they understood that everything is done in a decoded format. Because it was very much Kabbalistic, it was very much Jewish. Psalms 118 and other Bible passages go like that. And they looked at it and they took the first letter from each one of the words, and it spelled Yehoshua, the long version for Yeshua.
Wow!
And that's when they pulled it off the website.
Yeah. And as he said, just to get back to it, the way that it worked, you got to remember, just some months back, just a few weeks before his death, he had told his synagogue service and his students and close people that he had had a vision of Messiah. He knew him, knew his name. He had a time marker that was given as to his return. Not a date set, but a big thing that would happen. And sometime after that, the Messiah would return. And basically the big thing was Ariel Sharon's death. And, of course, Ariel Sharon shortly thereafter went into an 8-year coma, passed just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So according to Kaduri, after Sharon's death, Messiah would come. So, but he said to his synagogue, he said, I'm going to take this note. I'm going to give it to my ministry officials to be under lock and key. After I've passed, I want it 1 year later put on the website. The 1 year is an Orthodox Jewish thing we talk about in the book. So people that are saying, why did he wait a year? It's all right there. But let me get to the story. The bottom line is he passes in January 2006, the same month, the same hospital, the same year mm-hmm. that Sharon goes into an 8-year coma from a stroke. Kaduri passes January 2006. So January 2007, they go into the safe, they get his note out, they open it up, it's in his own handwriting, they post it, they do a little 3 or 4 paragraph story, here's our rabbi, the greatest rabbi, here's his revelation. But the followers, you know, that were waiting to see name of Messiah, they look at it, and that would be Orthodox Jews. Some mm-hmm. of the Orthodox hope he was going to name them. You know, some of the rabbis, they would say, maybe he'll name me, maybe I'm Messiah.
I probably mean, his son David Kaduri thought that he's going to be the Messiah.
Yeah, wow. I mean, wow. Truly, it was that, you know, intriguing. And then, you know, maybe even some messianics were looking at it, thinking, wonder what he's going to say. This guy's huge. But when the note was put up there, he just read it in Hebrew. I'm going to say it in English. Basically, it says, concerning the name of Messiah, the letter abbreviation of his name, he will lift his people and prove that the word and the law are valid. Written in the month of mercy by my own hand, Yitzhak Kaduri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that's not the name of Messiah. And right, so everybody's right. Looking, they've been waiting a year breathlessly, and then the note's there, and Messiah's name is not there. So people were kind of like, well, we're, you know, that's not what he told us. He met Messiah. He knew his name. But the note's there, and of course, all this nice stuff. Well, now we're on the other side of it. We know it was decoded, and I'm going to explain that in a moment, how it was. Now we see the beauty of what he did. It had to be a supernatural revelation, because if he had just put in the note, Yeshua is Messiah,
mm-hmm.
It would have never seen the light of day. His ministry officials would have burned it, thrown it in the trash. It never would have gone to the website, or they would have made up something. Something would have happened, but they would never have allowed that. Mm-hmm. But instead, he wrote it in coded format. Well, but then followers began to reveal what it said, people that knew, students and stuff. People, there are 13 professing believers in Yeshua as Messiah of his own students right now as we're talking. 13 that mm-hmm. are out there saying, yeah, he was teaching us and Yeshua's Messiah.
Wow.
But in the meantime, the note was finally decoded and people were putting it out on the internet because that first sentence said, concerning the letter abbreviation of his name, you want to know the name of Messiah? Then it said, he will lift his people and prove. Well, that was Orthodox speak for it's an acrostic. Take that second sentence. When it talks about him, he will lift his people and prove that the word and law are valid. That's a handful, that's a mouthful of English words. But in the Hebrew, it's just 6 words.
That's how short it was in Hebrew.
Wow.
Just 6
wow.
words.
Yeah, yeah.
So you just, you circle, and it's in this book, you circle the first letter of each of those 6 Hebrew words, and it spells Yehoshua, Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus, if you want to put it in English. So basically the note just stunned the Orthodox world, because it basically said, look, we from the greatest rabbi that ever lived, he says, we've been wrong for 2,000 years. Basically, he didn't write those words. But with that name, it said, we've been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I've received the vision, and I know the name of Messiah. It is Yeshua. It is Jesus.
Amazing. And it stunned the world. But the Orthodox Jews in Israel were waiting for a revelation of the Messiah because Rabbi Shach, which is another rabbi, Ashkenazi rabbi, blessed Rabbi Kaduri not too long before he passed away,
yes.
and said,
mm-hmm.
you are going to bring in, usher in the Messiah. It's going to go worldwide. And he was right. This thing is going worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So the people were waiting for the revelation of the Messiah. So when Yitzhak Kaduri said, I have the revelation of the Messiah, it was something they were waiting for.
They were celebrating.
They were celebrating, and they were tying in with what Rabbi Shach said. And we got it on the promo video. You'll see a rabbi in the end of the video blessing Kaduri. That's Rabbi Shach. And he actually ushers in that blessing that they were waiting for.
And what's so cool about it is that Rabbi Shach actually says, you will bring this revelation. You, God has blessed you. He has given you this revelation. And Kaduri, bless his heart, he's standing there kind of going, mm-hmm.
Very humble guy, right?
Very humble. But you could almost hear him saying, if you only knew, if you only knew.
He already knew Yeshua was the Messiah.
He's just kind of smiling. Yeah. He's kind of smiling. He's going, mm-hmm. And so Rabbi Shach is saying, and besides that, your name, Kaduri, which is wasn't his original name. I write all that in the book. He took that upon himself when he was a kid. But it means the globe.
That's right.
And Rabbi Shaw,
Kaduri.
Rabbi Shaw said to him, even your name.
So you could see the whole thing up at Skywatch TV on their YouTube channel, on their website. But, you know, there's some interesting stuff in the Old Testament talking about, you know, you shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and, you know, basically mourn and so forth and so on. And a lot of people have been talking about this phenomenon at the end here, where there's going to be a whole bunch of people that are locked up in this Jewish prison of Talmudism and so forth, maybe being freed of it and so forth and so on. So a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on that. I don't really want to get in any arguments, but I figured it's worth putting out there because people, you know, it's interesting stuff that basically the most heavyweight rabbi, almost, you know, right up there with Maimonides and these other characters, but a modern equivalent, basically had some sort of a supernatural encounter, let's say, and came to the realization the New Testament Jesus of Nazareth is the real deal. So take that and put it in your pipe, smoke it, and do what you want with it. It's newsworthy, and it's interesting to cover. As somebody that's watched the eschatological circles for a couple of decades, let's take Jeff on line 11. Come on up, Jeff.
Robert, you estimate your strength of worldwide power. RBN has been lethal to the New World Order. Robert, Bob Barr, the B2, indicates that the hunt for Red November is over. It was a Russian collusion delusion, but this red typhoon is upon us. See tweet 5583 on qmap.pub. This is the words. Despite the tremendous success I've had as president, including greatest economy, the most successful first 2 years of any president in history, they've stolen 2 years of our presidency, collusion, delusion, that we will never get back. The witch hunt is over. We will never forget. Make America great again. 9:05 p.m., May 5th today, Robert. We're 5 by 5 today. Okay. I want to. I sent Ken something that I wanted to kind of go through on. On 8chan, they have the list of the traitors, okay? It was published on 1426, and I can read it. It basically has cooperating witnesses, Terry Sewell, Democrat from Alabama, is cooperating from California, electronic surveillance, Jackie Speer, Democrat, California, electronic surveillance, California, electronic surveillance, Eric Sewell, Democrat, California, Adam Schiff, electronic surveillance, sealed indictment, Connecticut, Joanna Hayes, Democrat, cooperating, or Jen Himes, cooperating, Florida, cooperating, Val Demings, Democrat, Florida, cooperating, Illinois, electronic surveillance, Mike Quigley, Illinois, electronic surveillance. Sorry if I butchered this name. Roger.
Hey, hold on a second, Jeff. Hold on. Hey, Jeff, hold on. Quigley, that's a congressman, right?
Yeah, these are all treasonous congressmen.
Hey, listen to this. Now, this is strange because when you dig into these pedo circles, okay,
right.
I mean, years ago, I was listening to some of these people, and then his name came up years
Robert,
ago.
Robert, you're spot on. You're hitting Sessions 2 years worth of work with the pedo wars. And,
yeah.
Robert, the storm is upon us. Okay, so let me just kind of skim through this real quick. Cooperating witness, Andrew Carson, Democrat from Indiana, cooperating. Yes, Sean Maloney, Democrat, New York, electronic surveillance. Electronic surveillance, SI, John Cornyn, or John Carter, Republican, Texas, or Joaquin Castro. Okay. Cooperating, sealed indictment, Chris Stewart, Republican in Utah. Electronic surveillance, SI, Peter Welch, Democrat from Vermont. Electronic surveillance, sealed indictment, Denny Hack, Democrat, Washington. Electronic surveillance, SI, Mark Warner, okay? Mark Warner's the big guy, all right?
Yeah.
Cooperating SI, Chuck Schumer. Cooperating witnesses, Chuck Schumer. Now, Robert, Nancy Pelosi is not on this list that I've seen so far. So that's a very interesting thing, all right? So New York, cooperating witness, Chuck Schumer, okay? and Colorado cooperating, sealed indictment, Michael Bennett. California, Kamala Harris. Maine, Angus King. Okay. New Mexico, Martin Heinrich cooperating. Oregon cooperating, Ron Wyden.
Okay? Oh,
remember all of the Uranium One deal that went out of Oregon, and you know all of our RBN connections that got tied up there. Okay.
Right.
So cooperating witness. So cooperating witness, Dai Phi Chai, Dianne Feinstein. Okay. Cooperating witness. Cooperating, John Jack Reed. Okay. Remember the military guy from Rhode Island? Electronic surveillance, Susan Collins. Okay. Cooperating, Marco Rubio, little Marco, that's tied in with the overthrow of the, you know, the Bush cabal, basically sent down Jeb Bush in 77 down there, and basically worked in Maduro's office. And they basically slowed the output of the oil so that that they couldn't have Venezuelan oil on the market. That's why they communized it.
And yeah, so, that was that. You know, I covered some of that stuff with the Chip Tatum revelations about Lady Bird Johnson's bank down there and all that crap.
Right. Okay. So these are the last couple ones, Robert, that I just wanted to kind of hit. But it says Norfolk Chambers, you know. So Greg Craig is basically the last guy on this thing. Now, Ken has some clips that are 6 minutes long, one by Epoch Times. And basically what is going on, Robert, is Anna basically has defined that since 1947, all the bar attorneys have broken the bar treaty since 1947. And the FARA, F-A-R-A, Foreign Foreign Aid Agent Registry Act, has all been broken by these guys. And this is the plug to pull the swamp out, okay, is the FARA. Okay, and this is what is going after Jones, this is going after Corsi, this is what's going after all of the deep staters that used foreign money to pay, you know, big media outlets, Robert, are being brought down by FARA, because they're actually, they didn't register as a foreign agent, so they've been printing propaganda, and you've been reporting on it, but this is essentially the end game. So the last word on this thing was game over, trophy time, right? So the things we're at right now are Donald Trump basically in his tweet from 9:05 p.m. tonight, it says, the witch hunt is over. So that means that Hillary's indictment stuff is all done. And the one thing I wanted you to kind of know on air is that on May 1st, let me go see if I can find it here, is that Huber met with a veteran war crimes tribunal prosecutor. At a brag and bag lunch, all right? And if you look at Rod Rosenstein's resignation letter, he quotes the Nuremberg judge in his exit letter.
Mm.
Okay? All this stuff is tying basically back to the chloramine causes collateral health damage, water issues of water poisoning genocide creating cancer worldwide through the UN. And that the WHO allowed it to occur and has, you know, has been making money on the birth certificate and the long-form birth certificates, as they kill people, they basically send them into the system that we're paying the taxes on to basically enrich the, you know, the Bayer, Monsanto, you know, activities. Mm-hmm. So these are the real things that are, I think, of importance. Duncan Hunter, basically, I sent a clip to Ken that's real short. It's about four and a half or 5 minutes. And essentially these containerized four cruise missile things that the Russians were basically, putting in place, I think this is one of the calls that was made on you know the turn with the call to Putin on Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Is that the deep state guys, wherever they were at, they've kind of gotten them where they want them now, and they're pulling the floodgates out with all these things. So, just really, that's all I really kind of wanted to go into, you know, because of the details, but. I think if you just watch over the next day or two, Bob Barr basically is going to probably have, you know, Julian Assange, you know, extracted for, you know, his issues. There's a court case in Texas where a very rich conservative Republican in Texas paid for the private detective to investigate Seth Rich's, you know, basically murder. Mm-hmm. Well, a court basically allowed, you know, someone that slandered this person to go, you know, the next step in the process. So, Those are the major things that look like they're hitting right now as we speak, of all the things we've worked on. And I think you're just going to see, if this stuff is true on these sealed indictments, because of what happened with the Mueller report, they just had to wait for the Mueller report to have its ammunition dry out. And notice all of the Muslim Brotherhood missile attacks into Israel today. Okay, this was basically, this thing looks like it's activity to take away from this stuff going on, because what you've got coming up is you've got Huber's activities are coming on, you've got Horowitz's IG report coming on, and then you've got essentially the potential declass of all this stuff. Now, if you'll notice that Papadopoulos, yeah, in the past, you know, 2 or 3 days, you know,
been making his rounds,
more people are reporting basically how this thing was set up. And it looks to me, Robert, based on all the stuff we did in 2015, it looks like they were trying to stop the climate change agenda that was part of Trump's real platform. That was the thing that was going to make money for the next 50 years and kill people with chemtrailing, right? Yeah. Which is part of this genocide thing. So Huber basically, give me a second to get back my email real quick. I'll just read what if I can get to it, what Huber said. All right, so this is what Huber said. He said this was 3:31 p.m. May 1st, and you can find it on it's on DUT News. Honored to have former AUSA and office leader David J. And I'll spell it S C H W E N D I M A N in the office today for a brown bag office alumni visit. Great advice for us, shaped by his experience as an AUSA, a war crimes prosecutor. His work on 3 Olympics and at the Justice Department attached in Kabul. Okay, so you've got 3 references to war crimes in the past week or so from important people, all right? Rosenstein's exit letter. Rosenstein has to exit to testify against all the deep state plotters, okay? Sessions had to exit to basically testify against the people that basically did the this, let's call it the Russian collusion delusion at this point, okay? This is the takedown of all these people that are involved in all this treason and stuff. And so they're, you know, Trump's basically already won the 2020 election based on today, on when they're rolling this stuff out, because they're going to break basically the back of the social media that have basically been illegally doing things. They might use a Sherman Act to basically take these guys out, you know, for doing illegal things. They're not actually, you know, the publisher platform thing, when you look at it, they're basically not registered as foreign agents the way they're doing these things. And so all these things are going to come to a head. Like Greg Craig, you know how important that hit was for, you know, Manafort and Gates and these other guys were the first ones that were swept up in the Foreign Agent Registration Act. You see what I'm saying? Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So what I'm saying is this is the game on part of draining the swamp, getting the illegal lobbying through the bar attorneys that Anna has been fighting was the first major step on, and it took 2 years. And Trump's basically story is in that tweet. If you go to QMAP.pub and you look up tweet 5583, it basically says they've stolen 2 years of my presidency, and he puts it in brackets, our. Okay, so I think this week you'll start to see the activities. But when he says the witch hunt is over, the witch hunt for Mueller's report was always about Hillary and all the corruption. So the reflection of the Russian collusion delusion was essentially a mirror for the Ukrainian corruption that was already in place that Hillary basically set up. So everything that these guys tried to do to Donald Trump in the past 2 years, Sessions and these guys have set up a reflection so that it destroys the fake mainstream media. Okay? That's been essentially this Q narrative to basically get the truth back to people like you that are on air, that are basically not being paid and are citizen journalists and are basically doing this stuff. So, Robert, I never used you as an asset. I just did whatever part I was supposed to be working on, but I think we're kind of at the end of the show. The fat lady's getting ready to sing, and Hillary's pretty fat. Okay?
Well,
so that's all I got for you, Robert. All right. I'll let you go with the show. There's those clips if Ken wants to play them, but thanks for all your time. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
See ya.
You know, I'm relatively skeptical at this point that some heavyweight things are going to happen. I want them to. I would love to see all of these freak shows that have run roughshod over our country held accountable. I don't know if it's possible at this point. That's just me. I always have a glimmer of hope that burns somewhere deep in my soul that we'll see justice right in front of our face in our lifetime. But at the same time, I'm not putting my eggs all in one basket and so forth and so on. So that's just me. I love to hear, that stuff. But at the same time, I know that, there's so much other darkness around. We'll see what happens. But the way that everything is going, it remains to be seen. Let's take Chance in West Virginia. How you doing, Chance?
Hello, Robert. It's good to hear you live again tonight. By the way, I haven't heard any Q drops recently, and I don't know what to make of them. But based on your previous caller, is he basing his information on a recent QAnon drop?
No. Well, basically, Trump's tweets have been real, real active. Q hasn't dropped anything since the second with this Karate Kid analogy, defeating the old guard. You're witnessing the systematic destruction of the old guard. May 2019, kickoff, start offense, enjoy the show, Q. So that's 3 days ago. That's the last Q drop. But Trump's been on a tweet storm as well, and a lot of people they tie the two together, and then there's a bunch of stuff like Jeff mentioned over there on 8chan and so forth and so on. So there's a lot there. If you get on 8chan, the overload that you'll get immediately when you get into the queue and political stuff, it'll blow your mind. And then all the people that do the decodes and everything else. I mean, that's one kind of area where I look at things. But I've of course there's people that are way more into it than me. But go ahead, where are you at?
All right. Well, can I ask your opinion on QAnon? Because I tend to think it's an elaborate psyop. I mean, I may be wrong, but
the thing is when you look at, could it be like, I'm talking AI, Mossad level, psychological warfare to give us some hopium that we always talk about, hopium. There's a lot of proofs, okay, that you can constantly dig around on to where you know that whoever is doing some of these drops, and I'm not saying all of them, is in the complete inner circle, the inner sanctum of basically the, let's just say, the highest levels of the military, industrial, intelligence, and executive sphere right now. And so, I'm torn, as many people are. But like I tell the audience, though, for me not to cover it, I'm doing a disservice, just like if I was completely ignoring it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. If you don't cover it at all, then you're sitting here with your rear end hanging out in the breeze. And then if you do cover it, but you're totally, completely on board with it like it's the gospel, then your ass is in the breeze as well. So I'm kind of guarded. I like kind of seeing the tea leaves in the whole thing, but at the same time, I'm a pretty jaded and twisted individual, and I've been burned so many times that,
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you played a clip earlier, and it never ceases to amaze me. Sharon's 8-year coma. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that doesn't quite seem
well,
right.
Well, that's well. I mean, that you don't. I take that with a grain of salt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sharon was fat enough to live 8 years off his own fat cells. So I don't know. Sit there in a coma. I don't know, man.
Well,
but yeah,
I still don't know what to make of that. There was something very peculiar with that situation, an 8-year coma.
Well, you know, Sharon Sharon wasn't even technically Jewish, right? That's another strange one.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, yeah. So dig into that. You'll freak out. He was considered basically a kosherized goy.
Really? I think I read somewhere that his name Sharon meant lightning.
Barak means lightning. Barak means lightning in Hebrew.
Sharon, I can't recall what. Oh, by the way, when you opened your show, you brought back memories, Shooting Star.
Yeah, man, yeah.
Yeah, I was fresh out of high school, and I heard a song on a FM rock station,
yeah.
Flesh and Blood by Shooting Star. The name of the song was Flesh and Blood. And yeah. I went out and bought the album on vinyl, and which I still have it, by the way. Yeah, and that was, you brought back memories playing that.
Me too. Well, dude, I was headed out to meet some of my buddies, like I was saying, and KSHE 95 here in St. Louis has been around for over 50 years, okay? Real rock radio. Mm-hmm. And, man, you turn it on once in a while, and then they'll dig back into something from 1980 like that, you know, and that was massive radio airplay at that time. And then it was just like, I heard it Friday night, and I was just like, oh, I forgot about that band. And so I texted myself.
When you played that, I take it the name of that song was Last Chance, I guess. I went in my rec room, and because I have at least 2,000 albums on vinyl. I'm a big music connoisseur. So I went back there, and I checked, and it's not on that album, the Flesh and Blood album. Just out of curiosity. But you brought back memories by playing Shooting Star.
Right, you did.
Okay, Robert, thank you now. God bless, and keep up the good work now, my friend.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. Let's see. Where are we going to go? Now, let's kind of blackpill ourselves a little bit with a little brother Nathaniel. Clip 9, Ken, if you want to get that one ready. This one's kind of interesting. You know, The Great Pretender, and he sings the song for the first 3 minutes, and of course I skipped through that, but let's listen to what Brother Nathaniel dropped in the last day or two.
I mean, where is this greatness? I mean, you know, Donald Trump during his campaign kept on saying we don't win anymore, and now he's saying we're winning. Well, how are we winning? Are we winning by starving people in Venezuela for democracy so we can steal the oil? Are we winning in Syria and Iran so that a foreign country can expand its already dubious borders? I mean, that's not winning. That's sinning. All right? That's doing wrong. And that is not greatness. Now, America is on a decline. We can stop it. But the decline is politically, culturally. All we got culturally is football games, but we don't have anything that unites us as a people. And we are falling morally. Now, the integral core of morality is the family. And the family is being under attack. I grew up in a family. I grew up in a Jewish family. But there in this family, we learned obligation. We learned responsibility. And that's what true love is really all about. And that's what greatness is, obligation, responsibility. And it's more than economic prosperity. It's integrity. It's in righteousness. Now, I travel all across the country holding up the Holy Cross. I meet a lot of great people. I think we've got a chance to make this country great, because greatness begins with you and me. I want to be great. I want to be great morally. Help me be great.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. Now, there's a big thing going on with this China trade deal collapse. Ken, get number 11 ready. And who knows what's going to happen here? You know, you got the Venezuela heating up and Chinese troops allegedly floating around there, the Chinese controlling both ends of the Panama Canal, the Chinese controlling Long Beach, deep water port. You know, what we have to realize here is with this communist Maoist movement here in the United States, you don't think this big trade imbalance and the Confucius Institutes and all, and the China Gate stuff with the Clintons in the 90s and the Democratic Party all the way up until now, Feinstein with the Chi-Com limousine driver. The Chinese and the Democratic Party are joined at the hip. And Hillary's little comments about, well, why don't the Chinese get Trump's taxes? Remember, because Trump said, hey, if the Russians got Hillary's emails, tell them to cough them up, the 33,000 emails. Well, see, Hillary turned the tables and now said, hey, China, if you got Trump's taxes, well, you know, like I said about Trump's taxes, I hope he got away with some, you know, whatever with the IRS, the 1913, you know, collection arm of the Federal Reserve. You know, anybody that can get away with beating the IRS, I give them a pat on the back, you know, because the whole thing's a scam anyway. The 16th Amendment, the whole thing, central bank, the fractional reserve currency, tax on your income. It's all the founding fathers basically hanging from the nearest tree if you try to introduce that into their society back then. So, I mean, we all know that it's bogus. So this whole thing with taxes and the rest of it, but it's, you know, the Chinese. But let's listen to clip 11 real quick. Go ahead.
May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, Sunday. Trade deal dead. Trump says 10% China tariff rising to 25% on Friday. Another $325 billion in goods to be taxed. So much for months and months of constant leaks, headlines, tweets, and press reports that U.S. trade talks are going great and are imminent amid an ocean of optimism meant solely to sucker in amateurs into the most obvious bull head fake since 1987. Just after noon on Sunday, President Trump tweeted that 10% tariffs paid by China on $200 billion in goods will rise to 25% on Friday, and that, contrary to what he himself and his chief economist, Larry Kudrow, said for months, talks on trade deal have been going too slowly. And just to underscore his point, Trump also threatened to impose 25% tariffs on an additional $325 billion of Chinese goods shortly. For 10 months, China has been paying.
So, look, China's been, you know, eating our lunch for a long time. And guess what? All of our politicians in both parties have been getting filthy rich over letting China eat our lunch. So we'll see what happens with this. We got Bill in Wisconsin coming up. Let's go ahead and bring up Bill real quick. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Robert, amen to Brother Nathaniel. Okay. Jeff, as usual, is telling us that everything's going to be just peachy fine. Well, I've got a fact that our friend Trump put in an Obama holdover, Kevin McAleenan, okay,
DHS.
In charge of Homeland Security.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's letting in all of these so-called immigrants putting them on buses, sending them all over the country. What a wonderful president that we have, okay? I'm not buying that QAnon. I'm not buying anything that Jeff says. If it comes out to be true, I will be on the phone and I will apologize. But I'm not holding my breath.
Well, that's, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm a person, you know, I look at the stuff and then, like I said previously, I'm skeptical of the heavyweights like the Eric Holders and Loretta Lynch's and the Obamas and the Clappers and the Brennans and the rest of the people that pulled all this ever being taken to task. And, you know, I think once you get so high on the pecking order in government and even in local government, it seems it's almost impossible to hold people accountable once they rise through the ranks in even smaller organizations. Have you noticed that in government, Bill? The higher you get, the less accountable you become?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, one other item. I see where Trump is going to give the Medal of Freedom
to Tiger Woods. Yeah.
Not because he won the Masters, because both of them cheated on their wives.
Well, you know.
Of freedom. The Tiger Woods. Come on.
Yeah. You know, whatever. That stuff's all. I get what you're saying. It's.
Yep.
That's all just fluff, you know, right. and I don't like it. There's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, what's this stuff with Trump always feeding these sports kids fast food? I don't get this either. It makes me feel strange.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A and Burger King and McDonald's and Domino's to every group of people that come to the White House. I don't know what the hell that is either. It's strange.
All right,
Bill.
All right, good show.
All right, see you, man. You know, this is up on the Seattle Times. Gray whales starving to death in the Pacific, and scientists want to know why. Duh. And Fukushima's killing everything in the Pacific, but manipulated science are forbidden to tell the truth. Let's see. This is up on, and I'm going off of some of Quayle's headlines. Steve Quayle. Project Bluebeam for real. Ever wonder how the Antichrist will fool the masses into believing that he is all powerful and is God? Well, the technology is here and it won't be long before the deception begins. Well, you know, Andrew Yang, he's all into this kind of hologram campaign stop thing, and he's into, you know, that sort of thing. Flashback, important FEMA camp incinerators. If accurate, this means FEMA camps can hold at maximum 5 million people. That's a nationwide total. You know, they're talking about magnetic pole flips and all this, the sun, magnetic poles, rapid changes. Hey, Ken, get clip 10 ready. And this whole measles vaccine, we all notice this complete assault on anti-vaxxers now and so forth and so on. Let's roll clip 10.
But let me remind you of something that we also dug up that is still standing to this very day. It says the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention literally have overstepped its authority in proposing to grant itself powers that obviously negate any rights U.S. citizens thought they had by issuing the proposed rule, quote-unquote, control of communicable diseases, unquote, on August 15, 2016, wherein CDC will self-invest itself with the power to apprehend healthy people en masse and detain them indefinitely with no process of appeal. Now, keep thinking of Zika. 1947, Rockefeller's patented it. back in 1947. It's been around for a long time. We saw the big push down south for it. We saw them do the illegal spraying all the way up to New York City, down the streets in the middle of the night with trucks with sprayers in the back of them. Keep that in mind. The Mammoth proposed rule is published in the Federal Register, Federal Register number 2016-18103 online at this website. I'll check that in a second. Before you read it, she says, I suggest you take a stiff shot of vodka or scotch. But what this is basically saying is the CDC is trying to propose a law where they can grab people, just like we've been telling you, and everybody laughed it off. It was all conspiracy theories, the mandatory vaccines. Well, check this out right here.
You can
this
stop
is
it
the
there.
Federal Register.
And that's up on Richie from Boston's channel. But unfortunately, you know, when I first came on the air, probably a little bit less than 5 years ago, I was already talking about the bio angle, the biohazard, bioweapon, you know, outbreak of infectious disease angle. Seemed to be the most plausible one to lock down our society. Now we're seeing the measles thing. Now we're, you know, if you listen to Rents and others, they're talking about the DRC having people coming across the border with Ebola, how they get here from Africa, and, you know, the typical NGO conspirators, the same people that float people across on land people in Zodiac boats on the shores of Spain and Italy and the rest of it. You know, this is this Kalergi, Cloward and Piven, inject infectious vectors into our societies now. So now it's just been flood us with refugees, but now it's flood us with infectious refugees with deadly diseases. You know, they talk about this Chagas and all this stuff. I mean, it's, you know, is this apocalyptic? It sure seems that way, but is this part of the psychological war on our minds to make us think that it's apocalyptic? You know, you talk about these demons that have the power to basically make the Book of Revelation come alive, to make us believe that we're in the midst of, you know, the apocalypse itself. There's a lot of interesting things going on. I mean, you know, you got a coalescence of a lot of strange phenomenon. These shootings, you know, up on Millennium Report, Operation Gladio C, false flag shooting on North Carolina University campus, last target of April 2019. And we talked about April being this bloodshed month, you know, this window where you had Columbine and just all, I mean, I could just go back into and type in April bloodletting incidents into a browser and you'll just be like, oh my gosh, there's been so many mass shootings and killings and, you know, strange things that happened in this window in the month of April. So many of them, it's eerie. Okay, we're coming up towards the end of the show here, and I didn't get to a few things. Well, Ken, get clip 5 ready. I want to play a little bit of this. This was over on Black Pilled, Devin Stack, and it's called Devotion to the Exotic, and this is this program that's been running on young white kids since the 60s to basically demonize their own and to be completely devoted to other cultures like they're superior to our own. And then we have no culture. We've stolen it from everybody. Ours is a timeline of terror upon the earth, et cetera, et cetera. Let's roll clip 5. This is pretty good.
For example, when I went to public schools, and I went to public schools in different states, American history from kindergarten all the way through high school, was taught as a timeline of terror. First, the Europeans came to America and genocided the Native Americans. Then they enslaved the Africans, all the while beating their wives while denying them the vote. Then, after putting the Japanese into camps during World War II, a war fought because bloodthirsty Europeans, of course, were genociding the Jews, the whites then made blacks sit in the back of the bus. Anyone who went to public school in America knows that this is the basic curriculum, a curriculum that was taught the children almost 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Children who then went home to empty houses because both parents were working, where they would watch cartoons containing these exact same messages or play violent video games, the bloodier the better, that provided an endless parade of Nazis to gun down. So it's no surprise that many of these children, once they were grown up, armed with the money that their boomer parents showered on them in an effort to buy the love that they had deprived them of in their formative years, that they left home to go off and experience this exotic world they had heard so much about that was so different, so in contrast to the evil patriarchy in the West. If nothing else, this would allow them to virtue signal on social media and dating apps to their less wealthy peers that they had broken the cycle. They weren't a part of this evil, racist West.
All right, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next week, hopefully. Keep your eyes open. Incendiary Radio Republic Broadcasting. Support the network, folks. Take care.
There's a voice that talks to me, said to me we're wrong. It's night but the sky's not falling, guess I must go on. There's a monster inside my head, holding on to you, but my hands that keep trembling know the truth is true.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to